Lawndale Art Center is currently presenting 4 solo exhibitions, ranging from site-specific installations and paintings to collections of recent drawings and sculptures. This is the final weekend to see those 4 shows, which are on view through tomorrow only. Today, we focus on one of them, When I Saw You Last, by Josephine Durkin, who received her MFA degree in sculpture from Yale University and is now an assistant professor of art at Texas A&M University in Commerce. Ms. Durkin's work investigates how materials and objects can be manipulated or positioned to function as human surrogates. Whether it's video, sculpture, or drawing, these pieces are used to suggest, mimic, isolate, and even invite human gestures, activities, and relationships. Ms. Durkin spoke with KUHF's Megan Henley.
I'm here with Josephine Durkin here at Lawndale. We're here at the opening reception, and she's here in the main gallery downstairs at Lawndale. And then we have a variety of pieces that are framed, and you've got some sculptural pieces and even some projected images on some bottles here in the corner. So tell me about When I Saw You Last and what exactly that title's evoking through these different pieces.
When I Saw You Last is a title that is referencing, you know, remembering when you see someone last. So and it can be a kind of a difficult moment. And with all of the works, whether they be the drawings or the sculptural installation or the objects of the video, I'm interested in using objects as human surrogates to portray and communicate things that are difficult, that perhaps are difficult to address, but because there are things that we recognize or identify with, it makes those human emotions or conditions more accessible. So, for instance, with Filtered and Clipped, Please Tell Me Again, that's the installation with the 8 school desks, and they're leaning towards each other, and they're grouped together in social clusters. And they are activated by a motion sensor, so that when a viewer walks by the motion sensor, they trip the motors inside each of the desks. Each desk has a built-in motor system, motor and cam system, sound system, and CD player, so that when the motion sensor is tripped, the clipboards, or the clip of the clipboard, moves up and down. And when it's down, that powers the sound of the desk. So the sound is on, and when the clip is up, it's off. So in a sense, they're speaking to each other. And the music that's played is Adagio for Strings, Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, which is voted the number one saddest piece of classical music ever written. So in a sense, they're grieving together in a social cluster. Yes. And with the drawings, here there are 7 of the 12 in the relocation series. And they started off as photographs of fabric remnants and silicone remnants that were used in the sewing and casting process in the blinded installation. So in a sense, I'm making things, but sometimes I keep the remnants from the process of making things and photograph them. And there are these digital prints of the fabric and silicone remnants. And then on top are painted silhouettes of furniture, chairs, and lamps, along with colored pencil drawing. And so usually when we have a conversation, there's furniture and it takes place in an office or in a home, and that space is designated by 4 walls and a floor. But in this case, the furniture has been relocated to an area of chaos, of rubble, of scrap. And so this kind of manic conversation is represented by this imagery. But at the same time, it's packaged in this Martha Stewart-like palette, so it's very polite, even though it's a manic situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in both of these, you're dealing with dialogue and human interaction, and it's in the way, even the piece is literally speaking with each other. So artistically, like, what triggered that, or what in society maybe that are you pinpointing that you've really taken an interest in showing in these pieces?
In terms of creating a dialogue amongst, I think this kind of goes back to the interest of making things that are often difficult to discuss more acceptable, more accessible by using recognizable objects, desks, office supplies, as human surrogates to talk about difficult situations, whether it be, you know, death or power struggle or complicated situations and relationships. So, and I use these things because they are neither age nor gender specific. And so that's really important to me, because the feelings or the human condition that's discussed or referenced in each piece is neither age nor gender specific.
Well, we have one in the corner that's one of my favorites. That's the two, you have the different fans, and they're clutching pillows and other objects and almost like your human hands.
Yeah.
But very awkwardly paced in different bright colors, kind of the same color palette that you spoke of earlier, with kind of an Easter egg blue and some pinks and such. So tell me about these pieces.
Well, in this work, that installation is called Blinded, and it consists of three pairs of fans, and then each pair of fans is sandwiching either one or two cast plastic pillows. So the pillows are cast plastic, and so the fans are not turned on, they're not plugged in, and the fans and the pillows are doing what they are normally not engineered to do. The fans are not cooling anyone off, and the pillows are not making anyone comfortable because they're so rigid. So the fans become the bodies, the fan heads become our heads, and the bottoms become our feet, in a sense, and they are working together or against each other to keep these pillows standing up. So it's, you know, it could be this power struggle, they could be working together in a great way, but either way, the pillows, which are rigid and uncomfortable, are blinding the other, and they're acting as this obstruction.
Well, we have another piece over here in the corner that have some different bottles and projections on them. Tell me about that piece.
That piece is called Wrap Me Up, and it consists of a stack of construction paper, and then there are four bottles on top. There's a bleach bottle, a hand soap bottle, a Nivea bottle, and a face wash bottle, and then they have been painted white, a very matte white. And then there is a four-channel video projection that is projected onto the bottles where the labels once were, along with a soundtrack. It is Sia's Breathe Me that has been edited as the pitch has been dropped significantly so that the voice becomes much more androgynous. So the videos, each bottle receives a video projection. There are videos of office supply equipment that I have manipulated and made move. There's calculator tape spinning down that starts to look intestinal in a way. There's a paper cutter that's moving up and down. So there's a variety of office equipment. There's a typewriter keys moving, but it's been manipulated both with the video and physically before I've shot it. So ultimately, the videos are projected onto the bottles where the labels once were, so that the videos or the movement taking place in the videos suggests the organs of the bodies. The bottles become the bodies, and the videos of the office equipment becomes the organs that make them function. And there's certainly, you know, a nod to Felix Gonzalez Torres and Tony Elsler with the type of video projection and the stack of paper. But with the stack of paper, I did not want it to reference a certain economy. More, I wanted to reference fashion, I guess. So instead of the standard red, yellow, brown, black, green construction paper set, there are magentas and grays and greens to really give a nod to fashion. And again, not make it gender or age specific.
Well, I know we were talking earlier, and you actually have a musical background in addition to art,
yes.
Which is good that you have, you know, the Adagio for Strings and Sia's Breathe Me in, and both of them, and even that song particularly, is a mournful type song, almost this unrequited thing.
Right.
So by adding the musical element, is that another part of the dialogue?
Yes, certainly. I think that because the Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber has been voted the number one saddest piece of classical music ever written. It's fitting for the group. It's in a sense a memorial for my father who passed away, who was a huge supporter of music and the arts and education. So, you know, you have the desks tilting towards each other and the sound that's playing. It's incredibly sad, but it's also cathartic at the same time. So in a sense, these desks are experiencing this sad situation and they're mourning together as desks, not people, but who stand in for humans.
The same thing in the video projection, kind of?
Yes, in a sense. I mean, I think that it's not geared to either one gender or age, but it's about these office supplies kind of working together. And that one is a bit different because it addresses sort of the mechanisms needed for advertising and so forth, and that's why the videos are projected onto the labels or to the bottles where the labels once were.
Well, Josephine Durkin, it's a fascinating show, and we thank you for talking with us on the Front Row.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming here.
The Front Row's Megan Henley speaking with artist Josephine Durkin at the Lawndale Art Center. Ms. Durkin's exhibition, When I Saw You Last, is one of four solo shows on view at Lawndale through tomorrow only. Admission to the galleries is free. There's more information online, and you'll find links to the websites of the Lawndale Art Center and Josephine Durkin posted at kuhf.org/thefrontrow.